This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. Greg Dinder here from It Was a Thing on TV, as today on this special one of two episodes here that we're bringing over to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we are going to discuss in episode 147 a very special episode of Quantum Leap that me, Mike, and Chico hold near and dear, because Quantum Leap is a very special show. We are going to be talking about the episode Heart of a Champion from the third season of Quantum Leap with Terry Funk. Oh, a classic episode, as Sam ends up in Georgia in the 1950s as part of a Russian tag team, and all sorts of wacky shenanigans happen. So let's get to our episode on Quantum Leap.
This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Spoiler number one is Dr. Lee Franz.
It stinks.
What is going on? What is going on?
Episode 147, Submission 1545, the wrestling episode of Quantum Leap. The wrestling episode of Quantum Leap, titled Heart of a Champion, was the 20th episode of the third season of Quantum Leap, and it aired on NBC the night of May 8th, 1991. Do 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 do
Yeah, I think this entire episode is just an excuse for Greg to get the Quantum Leap theme music on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's good. Even though it's good, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Well, guys, when we originally scheduled this week of shows, we were going to have WrestleMania this coming week. But unfortunately, because of circumstances, because it was originally supposed to be in Los Angeles, and because of the situation with COVID, they bumped WrestleMania 2 weeks to April 10th to 11th, two nights, and it's going to be held at the stadium it was going to be held last year before the COVID-19 pandemic started, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay. But don't worry, because Los Angeles, you're going to finally get your big stadium show WrestleMania in 2 years. I know you've been, we mentioned the Ernie Anderson episode, you waited since 1990 to have a big WrestleMania stadium show. So
guess what?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Two years. Be dialing.
Yeah, because Dallas gets it next year. So.
Dallas in the in AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. the telephone pole.
Yeah.
The phone booth.
The big box that Jerry built.
Jerry World.
Yeah. If Dak Prescott doesn't do a run in the WrestleMania main event next year, I'm going to be very upset.
He runs insane. Look at it. I'm rich, bitch. I'm rich. $75 million for the 2020 season.
Dak Prescott running in for the money in the bank.
He is the money in the bank.
No, Dak Prescott falls in Rob Gronkowski's footsteps and wins the 24/7 title.
It would be the greatest title that he has ever won. No, really, it would be the greatest title that he ever won.
Are you talking about Dak, or are you talking about
About Dak Prescott, yes.
Oh, it'd be the only title he ever won.
Exactly.
Hey, hold up. Who's to say Dak Prescott won't win an MVP award next year, like Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, how's Mitchell?
You mean current Buffalo Bill Mitchell Trubisky?
Hey,
current Buffalo Bill backup QB Mitch Trubisky.
Hey, let's say this about Mitchell Trubisky. He's the least racist QB on the Buffalo Bills roster.
Yes, he
is. That is correct. And
we can all agree on that.
And because I've seen him all around Chapel Hill, he's a darn nice guy.
All right. But we're not here to
talk. And he was on Celebrity Family Feud.
He was on Celebrity Family Feud. But we're not
here to talking about Celebrity Family Feud.
No, because we're on the March to WrestleMania. We have the first of two wrestling themed shows this week, and we're going to be talking about one of our favorite television shows that had a wrestling episode.
Yes.
And it's My Sci-Fi Wings, Quantum
Leap. It is your Sci-Fi Wings.
Yes.
And I thought Doctor Who was your Sci-Fi Wings.
No, that's My Sci-Fi Wings.
Okay.
No, Quantum Leap has always been My Sci-Fi Wings.
Don't know what Quantum Leap is about, I'll let Ziggy explain.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the go-to and what podcast are you listening to line.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, what podcast are you listening to? Greg, roll it.
Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator. He awoke to find himself trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not his own. And driven by an unknown force to change history for the better. His only guide on this journey is Al, an observer from his own time, who appears in the form of a hologram that only Sam can see and hear. And so Dr. Beckett finds himself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong, and hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home.
Hoping each time would be the leap home. That's basically the show.
Yeah. It's basically Sam Beckett goes from life to life in every show, and you see him in the intro where he is, and he's in this weird situation, and the only response he can give to it is, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Yep.
It's like Doctor Who, only he is inside somebody else instead of inside a phone box.
Yeah, and he has no idea where the hell he is.
Until Al tells him.
Of course, the
team Sam Beckett played by the inimitable Scott Bakula.
Oh, yeah. We already talked in previous episode, Infiltrator.
And Al, the Project Observer.
No, Al. No, isn't Al Cal... I forget what the... I can't even pronounce that right. Isn't it Al Calucci or something like that? Well, just say Al. We don't need a last name. He's Al.
Yeah, they call him Al on the show. They didn't, or at least in the open, they called him Al.
Yeah, we'll just say Al.
They can call him Al.
You were waiting for that one, weren't you?
No, that came to me.
And of course, his holographic second, Al Calabici, and Admiral Al Calabici.
Yeah.
Played by Dean Stockwell.
Oh, yes. The great Dean Stockwell. And Al's job is to basically explain to Sam the plot of the episode.
And make sure Sam doesn't screw up.
Oh, yes. Because it happens a lot. Especially in this episode, Sam screws up.
Sam screws a lot of stuff up.
He screws up immediately on this episode.
Oh, yes.
But
I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. Sam screws everything up. In this particular episode.
Oh, he does.
And when I go over this, you'll understand why I said, yeah, Sam, he screws everything up. Okay, so let's go to the date. That would be July 23rd, 1955, Atlanta, Georgia. Sam has leaped into the body of a professional wrestler named Terry Samus. But his stage name is Nikolai.
Nikolai.
Yes, and that's important because we're like ass deep into the Cold War.
It's like a decade into the Cold War at this point.
Plus, also, let's remember McCarthyism was not 5 years earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So Russians were not really liked, let's say that.
No, they were definitely, it's like, he and his brother Ronnie, they're a team of Russians, and I'll tell you right now, obvious heels are obvious.
Oh, yes. They absolutely. They're just playing to the...
Yeah, you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
They're from Arkansas.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once they do their match, they go to the locker room, and his quote-unquote brother speaks in his Arkansas voice, and, I thought you're Russian. No, this is all an act, just like all of wrestling. Oh, spoiler. Apparently all of wrestling is an act.
Except for the title matches in this universe.
Except for they did mention that. Except for the title matches in this universe.
Yes, because the title matches are a shoot, brother.
Title matches are a shoot, yeah. So I'll tell you right now, Terry, a.k.a. Nikolai, is played by Jeff Hodgson-Donner, who is known for his roles on First and Ten as Elvin Putz.
That's not tight casting at all.
No. And, oh, wait. Oh, you want... Oh, typecasting? Okay. Terry the Tank Saransky on an episode of Doogie Howser.
Oh, our favorite Doogie Howser.
And the be-all, end-all of typecasting, and we may come to this on a future installment, he played Moose Mason on Archie... to Riverdale and back again.
Oh, wow.
He was Big Moose, and he was married to Midge, and they were they were the it couple of Riverdale High. I don't care what you say about Archie or Betty or Veronica or any of that other Twin Peaks Riverdale crap. Moose and Midge.
Oh, yeah, that's where it's at, baby. Moose
and Midge. Oh, yeah. Greg kind of looks like Moose.
Yeah. Dude, stay out of Riverdale.
You gotta find that clip. Yeah, use that audio.
Stay out of Riverdale.
Lousy Riverdale punks.
Okay, so we have our backstory. We have a pair of wrestlers from Arkansas playing Russians.
Yes. Okay, so when Sam leaps in, he doesn't know what to do in this match. So what's his first instinct?
Oh, boy.
He's going to karate kick his opponent, and he knocks his opponent out. And you know what's amazing? The match was a minute and 8 seconds. It was like, oh, that match, blink and it's over.
Yeah, that's basically how wrestling works.
Yeah. And it was an accidental shoot.
Yeah. But damn if he didn't sell it.
Oh, yeah.
Get in the airplane, Finn. I guess this is what they call learning things the hard way.
Get off!
Big man is going for the flying guillotine. This could be all she wrote for the kid from Moscow. Oh, I sure hope the Joker has a few more tricks up his sleeve, cause he's definitely gonna need them.
What'd you do that for?
Come on, Joe, get up!
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt him.
Come on, get to your corner.
You saw it, folks? A beautiful move for sure. I'll make my way into the ring for the decision.
Okay. Get this doctor in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner in a time of 1 minute and 8 seconds.
Totally sold it. So, and afterwards, Sam learns all about Terry and Ronnie Samus, the Risky brothers who are, you know, obvious heel is obvious, especially in 1955. Think about it. You are playing Russians in Cold War America in the Deep South in 1955.
Oh, yeah. Especially in Georgia. They take wrestling seriously there.
Oh, yeah. And so, he sort of has a read on things, and all of a sudden, he finds out what his mission is.
Yes.
Al's gonna tell Sam. Terry is new to the wrestling game, having just replaced Ronnie's other partner, who was their brother. And the thing of it is, their brother died in a freak car accident.
A week earlier.
So this is Terry's first match as one of the Ruskies.
Man, what a debut!
What a debut. What a day. Nice kick. Love it. But he also tells Sam that Ronnie is going to die of a heart attack in the title match. The very next day, after all of this is happening, because of a previously undiscovered heart condition.
Yeah, but they have to figure out the heart condition during the course of the episode.
You have to figure out the heart. Yeah, you figure out the heart condition, you save Ronnie's life.
But meanwhile, now you see, the brothers have a title match with the tag team champions of the territory, the Shiloh brothers. And one of the brothers, Carl Shiloh, is played by the legendary Terry Funk.
Oh, but yes.
And Terry Funk will come up in our next episode, but it'll also come up in future installment to Keelan and Benetti. Which features a dog who's a K-cop, and you hear his thoughts.
Now, you're probably wondering, why is Terry Funk in this episode besides the obvious?
Well, it turns out Carl Shiloh's wife has a thing for Terry, yes.
For Terry Samus.
For Terry Samus. Nikolai.
Yes, and said wife is played by Deborah Wakeham, who you might recognize as the... you want to talk about typecasting?
Yeah.
She played Janice Bowden in Major League.
Oh. By the way, she was in previous installment The Nut House. Refer back to episode 70.
And also in the short-lived Canadian Disney Channel import Danger Bay. I only remember that because I remember Bonsley getting the free previews.
Oh, on whenever they would have Disney Channel free previews.
I would put the tape in the VCR and hit record and whatever come what may.
Yeah, that's something that doesn't exist anymore because, yeah, remember when the Disney Channel used to be a premium service?
Yep.
Yeah. Thank God that doesn't happen anymore.
No. Now there's Disney Plus. So.
Oh yeah, that's
so. In a way, it kind of comes full circle.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, Sherry Shiloh, Deborah Wakeham, can't keep her hands off of Sam.
No.
And Carl Shiloh naturally has a problem with this.
Oh yes.
There's another problem that Sam has. He don't know how to wrestle.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't know how to wrestle.
It's like, here we are. Sam Beckett. His memory's already scattershot, and now he don't know how to... And now he needs to know how to wrestle. He don't know how to wrestle.
Yeah. All the times he watched wrestling, they're all Swiss cheese, and that Swiss cheese head of his whenever he leaps.
Hey, speaking of wrestling, I gotta get this out of my system. You wanted a Herb Abrams background? I've got a Herb Abrams background for you.
Oh, okay. Oh, what is it?
I want to see this.
Let me load it up.
Mike, I want to see where you're going with this.
Hold on. I got five. Okay, there it is. All right. There we go.
Bravo, Michael.
I so wish you folks listening had a video pod. This was a video podcast because you would see Mike's Zoom background, which is Johnson & Johnson baby oil and some powder. And it says a Herb Abrams lunch.
some powder.
Powder.
Yeah, a very special powder. It's not Johnson & Johnson's baby powder. No, that would be giving too much business to Woody Johnson and his family.
Bravo.
There you go, Mike. Good for you. So he doesn't know how to wrestle, and frankly, he's never trained, and the only thing that Sam can do is kick really hard.
Yeah.
So the only thing that Sam can possibly do, because Ronnie does not want to drop the Southeast Regional Tag Team Championship, even if it means he falls dead in the ring right afterwards.
Yeah, because he made a promise to his brother before he died that he was going to get that title match.
Like, I'm going to get that title match.
And nope. let's
the title match.
And also, let's be quick. I don't think we've mentioned this. They're managed by their mother.
I could totally see that.
Yes. And their mother also wants them to get the title match. So Sam's in a big predicament, like, oh, what am I going to do here?
Yeah, their mother is played by Angela Patton, by the way, who plays Harriet Anderson on Falcon Crest and Mrs. Thompson on The Tom Show, if you remember that far back.
I don't know what The Tom Show is.
It's Tom Arnold on the WB. Arnold on the WB.
Oh, or yes!
ABC.
That was the after the Jackie Thomas show.
Yes.
Okay, now it makes sense.
So we have two Arkansas boys playing Russians, managed by their mother. And one of them really wants to be a champion and really wants to play in the championship match. But Sam, because Sam's lot in life is, again, to make right what was once wrong, has to convince Ronnie to forego the match and get checked out. Otherwise, he's gonna die.
He's gonna die, y'all.
He's gonna die, y'all!
Yeah. And Ronnie's wife's been talking to about, oh, he's had all these problems lately, oh.
By the way, did we mention that this heart condition was something he's been fighting all his life? They discovered it
Al discovered this thanks to Ziggy, who ran a lot of tests. Ziggy had to go through a lot of work here and figured out that it's the cause of rheumatic fever that Ronnie had as a child. But in the meantime, Carl Shiloh's wife tries to seduce Sam in his trailer. And then, oh, here comes Terry Funk, all nuts and stuff.
He was nuts. He just became nuts. There was nothing wrong with him before. He just became nuts when he saw Sam and his wife.
Yes. And it's revealed that Carl Shiloh's wife does this with men all the time. She tries to seduce the men and then have her husband go completely nuts and try to kill him.
Shocked.
I didn't know that this was a turn on for some women to see their husband beat somebody up, I guess.
You know what? You know more about wrestling in the 50s in Atlanta than I do.
Yeah.
This is accurate, right?
Yeah, I'm sure this is pretty accurate. Okay. I'm sure this happened with Ann Gunkel did this all the time in Atlanta. When her husband was wrestling. I'm sure of it. Probably.
Okay. After Terry resists her lecherously amorous adulterous advances, Sherry vows to have the hulking Carl repeat his brother Ronnie in two.
Oh.
So yeah. You want to talk about a work? This is a work.
Yeah, they've worked themselves into a shoot.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one got shot. Anyway.
Oh.
Atlanta in the 50s, y'all. Anyway.
Okay, so while we have this break in the action right now, I figured it would be a good time to tell you about all the things that are going on in the Place to Be Wrestling Network feed right now and on the mothership in the latest episode of the Place to Be podcast. JT and Scott were joined by John Arsenio D'Amato to wrap up the 1981 WWF pay-per-view year with a look at this Tuesday in Texas as they discussed the newest Herb Coons tidbits, a solid IC title defense by Bret Hart, the Big Savage Roberts showdown, and an all-time post-match segment, and another fun Bulldog Warlord match, Aimless 10 DiBiase as Hogan regains the title, and much more. And in the latest episode of Jacob and Tyler's GWCW reveal, they continue their list coming up to numbers 70 and 61 in this episode as they discuss slop-ass brawls, Sting's ascension, Ole and Elegante's complex relationship, and the dudes with attitude. And in Highway to the Impact Zone number 21, host Logan Crossland and his student Jake Williams are joined by TNA experts Sean Kidd and Matt Souza, and they discuss the November 26th and December 3rd, 2004 episodes of Impact, as they discuss topics like X Division sneak attacks, Nash and his Master Blaster, a not terrible NYC match, WWE filming commercials at Universal, balloons and cookies, stupid booking in the X Division, Raven's sporting helmet, DDP's rambling nonsense. Oh my god, there's so many things about this period of Impact. It doesn't get quite as bad as it later gets in the Spike era. And in the NWA Saturday special, Scott and George gave their reaction to the NWA's return pay-per-view Back for the Attack as they recap the matches and winners and what lies ahead as NWA Power starts up again. How long can Nick Aldis remain as the World Heavyweight Champion? So that is a fun show. I always love the NWA Saturday special. I ordered the NWA pay-per-view on Fight. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I'm hoping it's going to be pretty good, hopefully. But also, as you know, Place to Be Wrestling Network, that's not all we have. We have so many shows on the regular Place to Be Nation Pop Experience that we're normally on. We have such exciting shows on there like Making Mount Rushmore, The Year in Pop, Pop Goes to the Couch, or a show, of course, It Was a Thing on TV, Battlestar in the 25th Century, Telly and T, Pop Goes to the Classics, and the NBA Team Podcast. And also, don't forget to check out the North-South Connection, which is brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George, which is the home for Wrestling Warzone, Nolan Spard, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, Carolina Dreaming, Shrink Wrapped, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and more. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well. That's the home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Forget Driving, The Journey Through Infinity, Telling Stories, The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, You Heard About Pluto, Bianca's First Time, and more. And also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try and enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And of course, be sure to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. New voices and fresh takes bring you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by Jon Crow, Steve Riddle's Wonderful World of Disney Reviews, Paulie's Perspective, Matt's live-action Disney movie reviews, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and more. And if you're doing online shopping at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PTBN homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it'll help PTBN at no cost to you. Okay, let's get back into this episode as we try to figure out how Sam Beckett is going to get himself out of this situation with the help of Al and Ziggy.
So Terry, or Sam as Terry, finally convinces Ronnie, hey listen, you will get a chance at the title, but first you gotta see a doctor. You gotta get a checkup. He gets his checkup, and, you know, and of course...
the doctor's like, oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
Because it's 1955, and doctors are not smart.
Yeah. Remember, this is the age where they were prescribing cocaine.
Oh, yes. Hey, The doctor looked at Ronnie and he said, "You know what? His vitals, they look good."
Yeah. Again.
They look good. Looks good.
Looks really good.
Looks good.
It looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
It looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
It looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
Looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
All right. Okay. So Sam is left with only one recourse because he knows that doctor, something not altogether right up here.
Yeah, and he would know being a doctor.
Remember, Dr. Sam Beckett is a doctor.
He's an actual doctor.
That's right. So, he can't let Roddy into the ring, so he just decides, you know what, I'm just going to wrestle this guy myself.
I'm going to wrestle the entire match by myself. So we get to the big title match.
But you know who he's facing? The Americans, one of which is Carl Shiloh.
They're facing the Shiloh brothers.
Yeah, the Shiloh brothers are the Americans.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. Oh wait, before they had the match, they're talking with the promoter. And Ronnie's like, "Oh, can't wait till we get those belts." And the promoter's like, "Do you honestly think I'm going to give the titles to a bunch of Russians?" And Ronnie's like, "But we're not from Russia. We're from Arkansas." And the promoter's like, "I know that. You know that. But the crowd doesn't know that." He's got a point.
He's got to keep the kayfabe up. Am I right?
I guess he does. I guess he doesn't think a bunch of Russians being the tag champs is going to make a lot of money for his territory. I don't know.
But you know what? Any promoter can write any work.
Oh yeah,
and make it work.
Yeah.
This guy was just lazy.
This guy was just a lazy booker.
Lazy booker in Atlanta. Who knew?
Yeah.
This was before Ted Turner, by the way.
Yeah, this was before Ted Turner bought WCW. So now we get to the title match. We get to the big title match. Now remember, we've established that the title matches are shoots in this territory.
Yes.
And the ring announcer mentions that this is no time limit.
We fight until somebody dies.
Or there's a winner.
Literally.
Yeah. So we have Sam's going to be like, "I'm going to wrestle the entire match to make sure Ronnie doesn't get in this match." And so Carl Shiloh's just beating the absolute crap out of him the entire match. And Al's comes to Sam and's like, "Well, what are you going to do? It's like you'd have to need a tranquilizer to take him out." And Sam's like, "I got it. I got an idea of how I'm going to win this match. I'm going to put him to sleep." And Al's like, "Well, how are you going to put him to sleep? Are you going to sing him a lullaby?" "No, I'm going to give him a sleeper and cut the oxygen off to his brain."
You know what? That is a very, very good plan. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it so happen that Sam puts the sleeper hold on Carl Shiloh?
And
good night, Irene. He's out.
He's out. And the Russians actually win. And surprise, surprise, the local crowd has a problem with this.
Oh, the local crowd. Yeah, because they're all pissed. But you know what? I'm sure it drew a whole lot of money.
Oh, but yes. And hey, Ronnie can actually go get himself checked out now. And his heart condition is discovered.
It's fixed with medication.
But he never wrestles again.
Al says, you know, he never wrestles again. But the good news is his son does turn out to be an amateur wrestler and he wins a silver medal in the 1968 Olympics.
So, yeah.
So the family tradition of wrestling continues.
But there is one scene that I will never forget as long as I live, and I love this scene, and this scene just makes the entire episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, okay. So Carl and his wife are backstage. They come back. Carl's being treated on because all the oxygen just...
Sherry's nursing Carl, getting the oxygen back. She's bending over.
Oh, honey, sweetheart, what did I do to you? It's your fault. Look at him. Look what you did to my baby.
I just wished he'd have caught you in that trailer and torn you apart.
Oh, honey, how's my little pumpkin? Mama's gonna take you home. Sweet little cowboy.
Yeah, oh yeah, go ahead. No. It'll make you feel better. Go ahead.
No, I
I would do it if she wouldn't even feel it.
I don't think that I would ever do anything.
And Al's like, well?
So, Sam manages to get one good swift kick in right before he leaps. Right before he leaps.
But, oh! Where he leaps next. Oh my god. We get into, oh my god, this has gotten so real where he's leaped into for the next episode.
Yeah, remember we talked about this being in the middle of the Cold War?
Now he's in another Cold War situation.
As a Florida fallout shelter salesman. As if to say, and of course, because... This is Sam we're talking about. Oh, boy.
Oh, by the way, in the following episode, do you know who makes a guest appearance in that episode?
Who makes a guest appearance in this episode?
Kurt Fuller.
That Kurt Fuller?
Oh, yes. So we're going to have to play it, obviously.
Are you trying to tell me my money's not good enough for you? I find that a little hard to swallow, you jockass! Jockass! Jockass!
That Kurt Fuller.
Yep.
Hmm.
From previous installment, that's my Bush. And I'm sure we'll talk about No Holds Barred, the match, the movie eventually on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So that's the wrestling episode of Quantum Leap. Do we have any farts about this episode?
This is one of those episodes, because they saved this for May sweeps, obviously. It's one of those episodes that basically defines the premise of the entire series, which is shenanigans, heroism, and compromising situations.
Oh, yes. And I also learned this episode, don't mess with Terry Funk, because he's crazy.
You didn't know this already?
Well, I knew this from when he tried to kill Ric Flair 2 years earlier, but still.
Yeah, I mean... this is one of those episodes where you just want to sit back and just not be bothered with anyone, because it's an enjoyable watch. It is an absolutely enjoyable watch.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. Unfortunately,
and if you look at the history behind Atlanta in the 50s, pro wrestling, and Cold War America, it all checks out.
Yeah. And of course, Atlanta, fine wrestling tradition, because obviously WTBS and such, I'll kind of sort of mention in the next episode, but yeah, there's nothing that goes to ever like wrestling in Georgia.
And also, another thing to take from this episode, if you're going to see a doctor, make sure he's not a quack.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you
go to an actual doctor.
Go to an actual doctor. Don't just get a doctor. Have them look at, like, test the back and be like, okay, it all checks out.
Like, it's like one of those, it kind of reminds you of one of those sideline doctors in football where he's like, what day is it?
Okay, get it out on the field.
He's good.
Or as I like to call him, an NFL blitz doctor.
It's like, do you know your name? Yes. Do you know where you are? Yes. Do you know what day it is? Yes. He's good.
Good. Get on the field.
Are you my mommy?
Are you my...
Oh, no.
But you know what, guys? In May of 1991, this episode of Quantum Leap, it was a thing on TV.
Yep. Sure was.
Sure was.
You know what my takeaway from this episode was?
What?
What's that?
Apparently, I dreamt that Oral Roberts beat Ohio State.
Oh, that wasn't a dream.
What?
That wasn't a dream. That was wonderful.
Yeah, because this doesn't date this episode at all.
Of course.
That was my big takeaway.
That was your big takeaway?
Yeah, I dozed off while watching the episode. I'm a bad person.
Oh, yes, you are.
But I'm a good person because I'm glad Ohio State lost.
Oh, good.
Oh, everybody's glad.
Oh, hey, Ohio State loses, America loses.
Although, Ohio State
loses, America wins.
There well, America like... did lose. We all lost on our brackets.
Yeah. Well, my bracket's shot to pieces. Let's do some shopping.
Oh, no. Alright, so we're playing eBay Price is Right. Okay, so what is this, Gio? What did you find?
I found a vintage 1990 Quantum Leap pocket notebook, unused, with a Project Quantum Leap patch.
Ooh!
Okay.
Looks, and, and I'm just going to give you a look at that. Take a look at that right there. Okay, it's a nice looking patch there, and it comes with a notebook with of course, Sam Beckett in the Quantum Leap Accelerator.
Yeah,
right before he, you know,
leaps.
Oof. Okay, we're gonna make this dollars and cents here. Greg, you go first.
Okay, it's from 1990, huh?
1990.
I'm gonna go $24.99.
$24.99, Mike.
I'm giving him a little wiggle room. $25 and a penny.
You're giving him a whole lot of...
You're giving me 2 cents breathing room.
Well, yeah. You better hope it's 25 bucks there, my friend.
Okay, and... Hey, joke's on you, jokers. You're both over.
Oh!
Now, that's a shock. That really is a shock.
Okay, so it's under $24.99. Okay.
Yes, it's under $24.99. So, Greg, you want to try again?
$12.99.
Okay, Mike?
$14.99.
You're both still over.
No,
oh,
come on.
Oh, God. Okay.
Somebody would pay $8 for the Crichton Leprechaun patch, but they'd pay... never mind. Okay.
Okay.
Okay,
$9.99.
All right.
Oh, I can't. No, he put me in a bind. No, you know... Oh, One penny. Yeah, I think it's too late, but I'm gonna do it.
Okay. Well, the actual buy it now price for this pocket notebook and free project patch, $11.99.
Yeah.
It or not.
Okay.
I was close with $12.99.
You can buy that. You keep the notebook, but flip the patch because, wow, where are you gonna find a patch like that, huh?
Yeah, no. I was actually going to say $11.99, but I thought it was another trick. I shouldn't have second guessed myself.
Well, tell you what, in our next episode, we're going to continue the wrestling theme, and as I said last week, bigger does not always equal better. And well. Let's just say it. Next episode, we're doing WrestleMania 2.
Yeah. That's a thing that's going to happen. And, of course, when we're all done, we're going to put it on It Was a Thing on TV.com along with our other episodes, which you can find where fine podcasts can be streamed.
Yes. And of course, you can listen to all of our previous episodes on the Place to Be Nation Pop Experience, because as we're recording this episode, we're going to be having our drop, which would have been on Wednesday, the 24th, which would have included the aforementioned Creighton, Alabama Leprechaun, Coupling US, and Married for Life, the UK version of Married with Children. Of course, you're listening to this on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, along with our following episode. So you can go over to the Place to Be Nation Pop Experience and listen to all of our previous episodes over on the Pop Experience, and you can have a good time. They're long episodes because they're like usually two or three subjects, but you know what? If you're on a long car ride or something, trust me, the time will go by fast. And you'll learn a lot, something about obscure television.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lord knows, we live for this stuff.
We really do. So, until next time, we're going to go ahead and tag out here. But we'll be back this Thursday with another thing on TV. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, everyone.
Well!
Al, why haven't I leaped?
Ziggy says you can't leap until she loves you back.
Don't worry, I'll get her.